Well, Jeannie has brought us a statue. And it is. It's two women. One sitting in a chair, relaxed back as her hair flows, with the other tending to it. And it's very beautiful, Jeannie. Is this one you keep at home? Mm-hmm. When I worked at Trinity United Methodist Church downtown, there was a barber shop about, I don't know, 2.5, 3 blocks from the church. And there were a couple occasions on which the day had gotten long and stressful and things were difficult and overwhelming. And I would walk down the few blocks to the barber shop, walk in the door, and they'd say, "Do you need a haircut?" And I'd say, "No, just my hair washed, please." There's something about that chair at the barber shop or the salon when someone else is washing your hair that's just so relaxing. It's very, very nice. The idea of someone caring for you, tending to you, maybe making small talk, maybe not. You just sort of disappear for a few minutes. That barbershop would even put a warm towel on your face while they did. And even with less hair, that's the one thing I miss about going to the barbershop. I can cut it on my own now. That doesn't take long. But there's something nice about being cared for, intended to. I probably was one of the only 12-year-old boys that knew how to French braid hair growing up, but I had a little sister. And that meant we did a lot of hair in our household. And it was fun. It was time we had. It was something we get to sit and we get to talk, and it was just a nice moment to share. And so when I see this statue of these two women, Jeannie, I appreciate the little backstory that makes you think of your sister and that relationship. And as I was looking at the statue and thinking about what it is to see these two people care for one another, I was also struck by the fact that it's these two beautiful, caring women. And that got me thinking about the story of Ruth and Naomi. We don't have a lot of scriptures that have women as the key, not only the heroine, but the key character. In the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament, we do have Esther and we have Ruth. And they're not stories that get enough time. There's some amazing things that happen. And so I thought Ruth and Naomi might be a good place for us to consider this morning. So a little backstory. So there's this lovely lady named Naomi. And she's got her husband, she's got some sons, and her sons get married. They marry some girls from different parts of the area, and they now have their big happy family, and they're moving about, and they're doing their thing. And then, as difficulty strikes the land, her husband dies. Now, this is okay. Well, I mean, it's hard, it's awful, but as far as what am I going to do now, she's got boys. The boys will take care of her. Then one of the boys dies. And that boy's married, you know, and his wife, her name's Ruth, and she's like, okay, well, it's okay. We've got the other brother, right? So now the brother's taking care of his mother and his sister-in-law and his wife, and then he dies. Now, this is a real cheery way to start a sermon. I mean, it's just everybody's dying at the beginning of this story. And what we're left with are three widows in a land that is not their own, with no one to care for them. This is a significant piece because the communal structure of the time was one where when someone was lost as a family member, the other people would care for. And what we see in this story is that that entire structure is gone. These women have no one. And they're not even in their own land where they could say, hey, the husband, the son, the brother, but you're a cousin, even if it is twice removed, I need your help. There's nobody. And so Naomi sits and looks at her daughters, her daughter-in-laws. Their names are Ruth and Orpah. And she says to them, I have nothing for you. I have no sons for you to marry. Even if I could have another son for you to marry, by the time he'd be old enough to take care of us, we'll all be gone. So you need to go home. You need to go home to people that can take care of you. Now, one of the daughters, her name is Orpah. Of all things, Oprah Winfrey, named after this character. They just misspelled it on the birth certificate, because it's not a name you hear that often. Orpah says, Naomi, God bless you. Be well. And she goes home. Now, this is an admirable decision. She doesn't want to place a burden on anyone. She knows that there are people that can take care of her, and she wants to go where she can be cared for. Blessings. Go with God, Orpah. But Ruth looks Naomi in the eye and says, no. And Naomi looks at her and says, no, seriously, go home. I got nothing for you. And Ruth offers what is one of the most beautiful and powerful statements of commitment I've ever heard between two people. And it comes in the first chapter of Ruth. And so Naomi says, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said to her, do not press me to leave you or to turn away from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and even more as well, if even death parts me from you. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more, and the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. I love this scripture. The idea that these two people could look at one another and say, I'm in. I'm all in. Let's do this. I think it's a very beautiful testament to what it is to find folks in community who say they will be there for us, even when they have absolutely no reason to do so. We're going to talk about that. But you know, one of the other things I like about this scripture is that it names the difficulty and the hardship. It does. I think it's nice to see a scripture that opens with stuff just going wrong for no reason, nobody's fault, nobody was being smited, smote, smitten, whatever. It was just hard luck. It just was rough. It was just life. I think it's important that we all know there are scriptures and places in the Bible where wonderful, faithful people of God have everything go wrong. It's not their fault. It's no one's fault. God didn't do it to them. Sometimes things are just hard. And I think it's important that we know those stories are there and that God is present in those stories. That's a very important thing for us to know. And I do. The Bible just discusses and names that sometimes life is just surprising. Sometimes life is just unfair. And often life can be difficult. These are stories I hope we can hold on to and keep in our minds for when that happens to us. But then it doesn't just leave it there. It isn't just a story in the Bible that says, and stuff gets hard. It talks about one of the ways we as God's people can tend to this. And that's through relationship. I very much appreciate, Karen, your naming of family, because it is a chance for us to remember that we are a community of people here as well. And some of us do have family and friends we want to write letters to. Others of us have family and friends we hope not to get letters from. And that's just a reality. And so we find ourselves, when we are in times of need, looking to the folks in a room like this. This week we celebrated a service of celebration and remembrance for Susie Aikman. She was a part of this community for a couple decades. And it was interesting, when I was sitting at her bedside preparing for the memorial service, we were talking and I said, well, how about family? And she said, well, the community's my family. What a powerful thing to hear from someone on their deathbed as you're preparing a service to celebrate their life. No, my whole family's going to be there because the communities that I'm a part of will be there. Wow. Or I think about times someone new comes into our midst and we'll watch as something comes up and people will come to me and they'll be like, the folks at church are being really helpful and taking care of me. They don't even know me yet. Yeah. Imagine what they'll be like once they do. This is the hope. When we're at our best, we're a community that tends and cares for one another in the hard moments. But this relationship goes in another step. This is about a commitment between two people. It's about a very deep and powerful commitment. Did you hear those words? Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. This is not just a, hey, look, things seem like things are going really well for you. I'd love to hang out. We have a lot of those friends in this world, I think. The friends that are around, and they're nice. You enjoy spending time with them, but when things get hard, they're the ones that suddenly are busy, suddenly don't answer their phone as often. Suddenly are really, I'm sorry, I already got something planned. We've watched that happen. It's hard. But every once in a while, we can either find or we can choose to be the person that makes a commitment. Now, one of the things I love about Ruth in this moment is she doesn't try to make anything better. Right? She doesn't try to look at Naomi and say, no, it's going to be fine. We'll figure it out. We'll handle this. There's no trying to make it better. There's no, let's pretend the glass is half full when the glass is really broken on the floor. This is just an honest moment of saying, okay, this is how it is. I'm here. I think it's one of the most important things any of us can do as people. Recognizing there are times where we don't need to try to make it better. We don't need to try to find words that somehow solve anything. We just need to look at another person and say, I'm here. That's enough. In fact, even saying, I don't know what to say, but I'm here, is probably the most powerful thing we can offer. That's an extension of God's love and grace. That's us choosing to be as God is, present no matter what. That's us living out God's will for us as God's people. She offers to be there, and she makes this commitment. And the thing I love about this commitment is that it's for whatever may come. She honestly knows it's going to be tough. I mean, she's no fool. There's no one that gets to do the work. I mean, the story continues. She's out there gleaning in the fields. She's out there, you know, when there's just a little bit of stuff left, looking for whatever food might be left that she might take it back to care for her and her mother-in-law. The story moves on in some very powerful ways about what she's willing to give up and sacrifice and take on to care for her and for Naomi. Some very amazing things. She knows that's going to be a reality, but she says, I'm in and I'm here. And it's a reminder to me that it's relationship that really carries us through hard times. It's relationship. Now, the relationship may not fix anything. The relationships in our lives may not, in and of themselves, make it better or take care of the problem. This isn't about, I have this problem, so I should find someone to have a relationship with who can fix it for me. This is, I need to find someone, or when we're at our best, I can be the person who says, look, I'll be with you. It's a journey that we take together, and it's a relationship that carries us through. Because support is really what we need. That's one of the things I love about the story of Ruth and Naomi. It names that we as people need support. We can't do life alone. I think it's an important message for all of us to remember, because there are times we feel like we have to. There are times we feel like no one else will understand or be able to help, and so I'm going to take care of it myself. And while that's an admirable spirit, I am a firm believer that we can't do life alone. We're better when we do life together. So that's my prayer for us, that we might be a community that looks around, can be together, and offer those relationships. And when we need them, ask for them as well. It's the kind of thing Jesus was talking about when he grabbed the bread and juice and sat at a table with his friends. Jesus was talking about relationship. Jesus was talking about those broken moments in life when he took that bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. There's a reason we break the bread. Because we as God's people can be broken. We are broken people and we experience brokenness in life. And this is where God shows up. And for those moments we don't think we deserve it or we don't feel like we ever could do anything to earn it, Jesus takes that cup and passes it around the table and says, this is my love and my life poured out for you and for all people. Reminding us there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. This morning, you are invited to share in communion. You ever notice that communion and community share a lot of the same letters? It's because they come from the same root. They come from the same place. Let us pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, that they might be for us the love of God and the love of Christ made real in our midst, that we might be bound together through your love, one in service to all the world, caring and loving side by side. Amen.